Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 64 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be to meet the people that make theater happen. And if you are a theater professional, or if you know any, make sure that you or they sign up to Curtain Call with a promo code CCFREE to claim a Curtain Call profile today, which is, as it says in the promo code, free. So join today by going to curtaincallonline.com and type in the code CCFREE at checkout, and you're not going to pay a thing, and start connecting to the theater industry today. And now let's just get straight to this week's podcast. I have been waiting to chat to my next guest for ages. We've been trying to make it work, and we finally got there. I first met Olivia Williams when I was understudying Matthew Fox in Neil Abute's two-hander In a Forest Dark and Deep way back in 2011. And I've also had the privilege of sharing the stage with her on numerous Word Theatre stages around London. I will bring you a Word Theatre podcast, I'm sure, at some point. We go on stage and read short stories to an audience, and it is just an awesome experience. And speaking of awesome, I am absolutely in awe of Olivia's talent. And she just doesn't play characters, she inhabits them. Rosemary Cross in Rushmore, can't forget who she was, Anna Crowe in The Sixth Sense. I mean, even though she was as still as anything, like what she portrayed was incredible, to Miss Stubbs in An Education. I mean, on screen, you just believe her, and that's just brilliant acting. And as her onstage exploits go, she is a powerhouse. As I spoke to her after seeing her recently at the National Theater, I said to her, Olivia, you're always kicking the out of people, physically and verbally. And it's true, whether it's hitting her brother Bobby, they went 9, 15, 28 rounds in A Forest Dark and Deep, or literally beating 8 shades of caca out of her stage husband, Mark Baisley, in Scenes from a Marriage, which I saw at the St. James Theater, and prompted the woman sitting next to me at the end of the scene where they just duke it out to out loud say, oh my God, which made the audience laugh a little bit. And now in Mosquitoes at the National Theater, where she plays a scientist, Alice, working at the Large Hadron Collider, I believe, and searching for that elusive Higgs boson. But it's the relationships in her own family that she desperately needs to examine. It's kind of the way, isn't it? Anyway, and she squares off in this production with Olivia Colman, and although there isn't any physical violence, the poisoned barbs of cutting comments can more often than not cause so much more damage in a relationship, and especially in families. And anyone who can catch Mosquitoes before it closes this weekend should absolutely get down there. And you know what? I won't go into why. I'm about to ask Olivia all the right questions now. So have a listen. We'll get into Mosquitoes in a minute, but I think I quite like to know your journey, and I'm sure other people like to know your journey. You have such a phenomenal CV. I mean, and it spans, obviously, film, telly, theater, you know, so much, but it's so varied. So when you started, did you know exactly what you wanted to do or did you just want to act? Did you want to take each opportunity as they came along?
I'm the most annoyingly conventional person for having such an unconventional CV. And you know, I look conventional and sound conventional. And so it's very mysterious to me how it came to be any other way. Mm. You know, daughter of two lawyers who went to a little state school in North London, then a private school, then to Cambridge, and then to the Bristol Vic Theatre School. And I loved acting because I wanted to do Shakespeare on stage, which is still, to this day, the thing I have done least in my career.
Yeah.
I played the Princess of France in Love's Labour's Lost, which is the only time I have professionally played Shakespeare. I did Shakespeare a bit at university and one at drama school, but you know, where my real passion lies has not happened.
It's hilarious.
But what I have learnt on the way is that the best fun I've had and the most I've learnt have been on the jobs I have not sought that have come at me from left field that were not where my ambitions lay. And I was, you know, auditioning for Dove cream shower commercials, to whom I owe a great deal of money and thanks, because they kept me afloat for a couple of years when I was struggling and not getting work. And now I can say really, really soft in 17 European languages.
Amazing.
Muito, muito suave, which is Portuguese for really, really soft. And the bizarre thing happened, having done a stint at the RSC with no Shakespeare's in it for 3 years, and a stint understudying here in this wonderful National Theatre, understudying Anastasia Hilly in Ian McKellen's Richard III, I got a bizarre phone call saying Kevin Costner wanted to put me in a movie. And I went and did that movie. It was called The Postman. It was a flop officially, but made money, and is still, I get extraordinary phone calls from people saying I'm in a hotel room in Korea and The Postman's on. And a friend of mine who studied the plight of women, yak herds women in Kazakhstan, she's an anthropologist, and she was sitting in a yurt with a sort of single aerial TV and The Postman was on, and all her female herds people said that they gave me the freedom of their city. They didn't have a city because they're herds people, but anyway, so I got the freedom of the city.
You must go.
Yeah, exactly. And
there's got to be a key involved in
that. Well, I'm hoping, or at least, you know, a sort of bladder full of yaks, fermented yak's milk, which, you know, is
very good for you.
Your kefir, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which I now pursue to give me a healthy gut. So very bizarre journey.
3791, please. Joe Harvey.
Okay.
3791, thank you.
That's the general announcements over the RSC call system. It's very worrying for me working here because there's a theatre here called the Olivier Theatre, and they precede every call for the Olivier, of which there are many because it's the biggest theatre, with Olivier.
Yeah.
And I immediately stand up wherever I am, drop my food, and rush towards the Olivier stage. And then I realise that it's not me they want. It's the theatre. It's Sir Lawrence, not me. Or Lord Olivier, I should say. So that was the sort of the big change happened from jobbing largely unemployed actor to having a bit more power to wield was The Postman. And then I did bunch of unrelated movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, because looking at it, you know, and I mean, I've known you for a while, so I've known you've known your work, but you kind of it's pond hopping as well. So you do something at Rushmore, and you come and do something in England, and then you go back for Sixth Sense. You got to it's been incredible.
Yes, almost alternating.
Yeah,
which is very lucky, and it wasn't a plan. I think. Sort of emotionally and psychologically decide not to move to the States, which was a big thing. And that was largely because my dad fell ill and I didn't want to be away from my family. And then he was ill for 14 years, so so you know, that kind of guided that one.
That's whenever, a higher power looking after you.
And I'm very glad I made that decision, and that brought me my wonderful husband, who happens to be American. So once I had a family and children and a job in America in the form of a TV show, which was my first dipping my toes into television for Joss Whedon's Dollhouse, we moved out there for a couple of years,
right,
which was great fun. And then it's this bizarre lag where people think you're still living there when you come back, and I came back and did theatre. And then what I'm grateful, the reason I go on about The Postman is because it meant that I wasn't constantly being cast as an Cambridge English graduate, or a period heroine, or a period character way down the cast list, which could have been my fate.
Yeah.
And so I got to do the play on which we met, called In a Forest Dark and Deep, because I was known, first of all, to be able to master a reasonable American accent and to deal with big shot American actors. You know, I believe I got a reputation. You know, I played opposite Bruce Willis and Kevin Costner and Bill Murray and Andy Garcia, and I got known for someone who was prepared to work opposite these guys.
I think that sounds like a list someone might have.
It's like, who will work opposite these guys for the price of a cup of tea? And that was basically Olivia Willis. So it worked out.
How funny. Yeah, but I suppose, I've already kind of written the kind of intro to this podcast. It is something that I mentioned to you upstairs. Like, you are really capable, and you're your characters are strong and capable of holding themselves, and you're quite good either holding yourself in a confrontation, be it physically or verbally. They're just as powerful. Were you seen as that kind of person?
I got in absolutely drama school, or no work as an ingenue. So I would just had to wait. I mean, I was never Juliet. I got one. I was in a play at the RSC called Wallenstein, and I was the daughter who of a great army general who fell in love with a soldier played by Toby Stevens a million years ago. But if I was called Delia, there's no septuagenarians going to be able to carry me on stage. You know, there aren't many, what would it be? Yeah. All dragging through my Greek, but, no 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds, a few of them are going to struggle. It was wonderful that this all came to me in my late 20s, and it really took off in my 30s and 40s, because I'm playing a grown-up, and it doesn't matter if I'm taller than the leading man.
Exactly. But I love that, because listen, we're here at the National Theatre. You know, there are three theatres that shows today, and everyone's journey is completely different. That's what I love about it.
Yeah,
you know, and it doesn't matter when you. There's no such thing as cracking it. There is no overnight success. There is no kind of, you know, because you are a jobbing actor. I mean, and listen. The soul-destroying commercial auditions that you go up to hopefully pay the bills for a couple years is just character building, as kind of being in the fridge or getting your first gig here or whatever. It's all part of it, you know?
I think the sort of sentence that I forgot to finish because I got distracted listing the amount of A-listers I've acted with, which is very distracting, is that I learn to love working on camera. I set out to be in these Shakespeare plays, and which I've never done, but on the way I learned the absolute pleasure of film acting and the extraordinary places it can take you, from Jordan to the Gaza Strip, from South America, North America, Africa, to Wazazat, and
no idea where that is.
Exactly, it's not far from Timbuktu, and I'm not joking.
Brilliant.
So I, And, you know, I try not to take jobs on the basis of where they are. But that, you know, starts to be one of the factors. You know, hang on, last days on Mars, shooting in Jordan. You can't go there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of...
Listen, the only power we have as an actress is the word no.
Yeah.
So when something comes along, you can either go, you entertain that, well, I've never been to Prague, or I've never been to, you know, wherever. And... Yeah, it's great. It's a bit of the... Yeah, of course it is.
And then equally fabulous was, you know, at a moment that could have been a lull and was a lull in filming terms, you know, Cheek by Jowl came to me, offered me one of the dream roles, so it wasn't Shakespeare, but it was The Bloke Next Door, and in The Changeling, and to play that lead. And we were on tour and going round small towns in France, and sampling the wines and food that they had in each place. And that brought me back to the intensity of a company feeling. And I realised that I really, really, really missed that sense, which however much you learn to love the lens and the camaraderie around the camera, it's never as intense as the sort of summer camp intensity that you get in a company.
Of course.
So
I love it. There's nothing like it.
And so when I can, I get back to theatre. And when it's offered to me, you know, I go begging. I go knocking on doors for theatre jobs.
Yeah.
And occasionally they let me in.
There are a lot of producers out here who would be very happy to hear you say that.
I'm going to ask you something
before we move on to Skeeters, because you did mention your husband, Sean. Now, he's an actor as well.
Yes.
And just, I haven't taken plays because I know how much it will impact the family. And I can't rehearse because I can't pick him up, take him to choir, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and just in practical terms, is that something that you've had to kind of...
For me, I'm embarrassed to say the theatre is me at home. That, I mean, those, if it, I've been blessed with jobs that are based in London, other than the Changeling tour. So yeah, no, rehearsals tend to start at 10, so I can get them to school and put them to bed during rehearsals. It's heartbreaking because while you're in a run, if it's a solid run, you just never do bedtime unless it's Sunday night, which has come to be known as arsenic hour in our family, because it's always undone homework and dirty PE kit found at the bottom of
That's when you have to crack the whip out and go, what? Yeah, exactly. So, mommy, I need these trousers. My son, the best things, they both come up with their school trousers at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night and go, oh, they're filthy. I need them tomorrow.
Yeah, and there's a hole, you know, from arsehole to breakfast time, which is what I got. And, you know, now I'm at an age where I can't sew up a pair of trousers without a pair of glasses, and I can never find a pair of glasses in the house.
Oh, my God.
I married a man, when we talked about having kids on our first date, so there was never a kind of, we both had established careers and established friendship groups, there wasn't going to be a kind of unwillingness to take on family duties, because that's what we wanted to do, and that's the blessing of, you know, coming across someone in your mid-30s rather than falling passionately in love in your late teens and then having to battle for space to be who you are. You know, we met as fully formed people with a fully formed dress book, and the huge gap in both our lives was you know, thinking about someone else for a change. So we really wanted to do that.
Amazing. Okay.
Touching word, you can never be complacent.
Exactly.
It's worked so far.
So let's take it back to professional, like our profession. So Mosquitoes.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant script. Yeah. You know, directed by a brilliant director.
Yes.
The beautiful design. I mean, it just, everything clicked, and I love there were kind of audible gasps. You know, on the night we came, I'm sure you've heard them before.
Yeah.
You know, can you just take me through the journey of you, and quickly, because I know it happened, but just of when you heard about it, what you was like when you read the script, and just when was it like an easy yes?
I was sent the script while I was in Berlin filming an American TV show, and I read it. I actually didn't read it. I read the offer, which was Mosquitoes by Lucy Kirkwood, directed by Rufus at the Dorfman, with the other sister being played by Olivia Colman, and I said yes. And I also said, because I am, strictly speaking, under contract to Stars with a Z,
mm-hmm.
Television channel in America, and they had to officially release me. And I did say to my agent, if they don't release me, I will neither move nor speak in series two. So there was no reason why they would say no, but we all know those people who like to say no just because they can.
Of course.
I then read the play and knew that I'd made the right decision. I knew Lucy Kirkwood's writing from Chimerica, and my husband was in a TV show she wrote called The Smoke, and then I read this play, and it is beyond description. And the play that I read is only tenuously connected to the play that we're performing, and even more tenuously connected to the one that had been in development for a long time before I was involved. I know that colleagues, Olivia Colman, had done workshops and read-throughs at various stages long before I was involved. So they called me up, asked me to be in it, and I said yes. And that was not far away from the beginning of rehearsal. I was 100% in. I'd worked with Collie before. I'd said to her, oh, let's do a play together one day. And she said, absolutely not, I don't do theatre, I don't like to do theatre. And I sort of slightly licked my wind, but lived in hope. And she had done London, well, you're talking to her later, I think. She'd done London Road with Rufus.
Yeah.
And so he was possibly the only person who could persuade her to be on stage. And this play, and we knew we liked each other and got on well. You can never quite tell if you're friends with someone and filmed with them what it would be like to rehearse with them, but honestly it could not have been a more kind of joyful and exciting and hilarious and terrifying process than it turned out to be.
Yeah, because I think you had to have brought, I mean, Alice and Jenny are sisters. Yeah. Like, you know, they have an unspoken dialogue, which you guys carry off really well on stage. So it's, you know.
It's bizarre. We've got, I mean, you know, I took poor Collie to a Bikram yoga class, because I do it to almost anybody I've ever known. And we walked in and they said, are you sisters? And we'd just given them our names. I mean, like, we're both called Olivia. You know, some crazy
we're not
fucking
George
parents.
Foreman,
yeah, exactly. Who'd actually given us both the same name. And then, we got a taxi back to the theatre afterwards, and the taxi driver said, you sisters. So, maybe we are related.
Yeah.
You know, we live on an island, and it's quite a small pool. But we do have bizarre numbers of connections, and that we went to a sort of similar type of school that's part of the same girls' educational trust. She says I was at Cambridge and she was in Cambridge, but anyway, you know, there are many bizarre parallels.
It's great to be able to take that on stage, though, and it's great to have that connection when you guys are sitting. You look like sisters, you sound like sisters, which is really so the suspension of disbelief is instantaneous.
Oh, that's
good.
I mean, and also we just do sort of feel the same but differently about many things. It's really interesting, and we are very like our characters, or maybe have become like them as we do the play.
Easier to do, I think, on some. One last thing and then I'll let you go. We are here at the National. I remember the first and only time I was rung by a producer and said, yeah, we're going to the National. I nearly cried, because it's one of these things. It's just the tick 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 bucket list, you know. You couldn't believe it. You're here, and what is the importance to the National Theatre for you, and you know, coming here, like you said, it was one of those things that made you say yes.
I think it's the range of work that they do, and Rufus put it so beautifully, because he said it's important that this place takes risks, because it can afford to take risks and it can afford to fail. If you're running the park or, you know, the Arcola, and you have a show that doesn't work, something experimental and courageous that doesn't work, you might go under. And I love it that because of the incredible loyalty of the audience base and the patrons and the people who've put their own money into it and the state that subsidizes it, this place can be massively inclusive and massively risk-taking while still addressing the great classics. And that, you know, is what I've tried to do with my life and career. And, you know, Lucy's work is so profoundly based in tradition and so unbelievably revolutionary and groundbreaking. And it's uniting, I mean, I feel this very strongly about this play particularly, you know, about uniting science and and creativity and art and bringing everybody together and not excluding nerds and dreamers from each other's company. But, you know, we do this crazy thing which everyone talks about now, but at the five of the of your press night, or at beginners of your press night, you everyone bangs the windows. And to see the hilarious range of people that were here, there was a play going on about the PLO, Israeli Peace Agreement, and there was Follies. So you had people with feathers, sequins, and false eyelashes. You had Jews and Israelis and Arab Muslims and Palestinians all beating on the window with this crazy bunch of the Mosquitoes Company is pleasingly diverse.
Did you get chill bumps?
It's just, you know, it's sort of joyful. It's just joyful. It's really joyful and supportive. And it's a place where you really feel that you can take risks. You know, that rehearsal room, I spent so much time in that rehearsal room now, and I don't feel afraid to try out something risky and that could leave me looking like an art, or literally sort of with my bare ass in the air. I'm not afraid here. And Rufus is, he is a sort of middle class white male, but he doesn't swing his dick in the traditional way that might imply. He is incredibly sort of enabling of other people's ideas and talent while having an absolute vision. You know, nothing you see on that stage in Mosquitoes is accidental. It's all been thought out by him and is rooted in the text and rooted in the character of the people. And I'm in awe of what he did with it, because it did seem, when I read it, I was like, love this, laughed, cried, expanded my brain, but I was like, I don't know how the hell they're going to stage this. Like, good luck with finding an actor to play the boson. And, you know, some of it seemed so accidental, but I wonder if it was, you know, I still slightly want to go to him.
Well, that
sort of
is the
seat
piece
of the pants.
That's
decision.
The piece reflecting the process of finding that Higgs boson.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's so beautifully reflected. So many people said, so is your husband dead or alive in the play? And I said, but that's the point. When you're looking for the Higgs boson, you don't know if it exists, but believing it exists provides an explanation for how the universe holds itself together. So believing in it makes makes Alice feel better. And believing that her husband is alive and holding her the back of her neck when she's scared makes her feel better. And believing that there's a God makes people feel better.
Yeah.
And so physicists who think up the Higgs boson are not a million miles away from Quakers who stand and wait for God to tell them that it's going to be all right.
Yeah. I think that's a great place to leave it.
Okay.
Thanks, Elise.
The incomparable Olivia Williams there, currently playing the role of the CERN scientist, Alice, in Mosquitoes at the National Theater. Before we wrap up, if you are a theater professional and want to join the network built by theater professionals for theater professionals, we're all theater professionals working behind the scenes. It's so much fun to do this, guys, and we love having you on there. It's a network that's growing every day. Head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free Curtain Call profile with the code CCFREE, all one word, all caps. You can follow us on all the socials on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call, all one word. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast, just get in touch with me via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me personally at John with an H at curtaincallonline.com. That's J-O-H-N, not the whole John with an H. Anyway, it just leaves me to say a huge thank you to my friend Olivia Williams and the entire company of Mosquitoes at the National Theater in the Dorfman stage. It is a brilliant production directed by Rufus Norris, a great design, great performances, a great atmosphere. It's been great audiences. Get down there and see it if you can. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.